try and touch your face and pull your hair. We love it. And we're going to look at some famous babies and then look at them when they became adults. What did their parents think when they knew that they were going to have a baby? Welcome. What hopes, what expectations, I wonder? Who will they look like? Neither of mine had a beard when they were born, so they were okay. What will they do? Will they be intelligent? Will they do well at school? Could they be a prime minister? Could they be the best footballer, the best guitarist, the best singer, or even a bishop? Most people don't care as long as their children are born healthy and as long as they do what makes them happy. Usually when our children are born, the first thing on our mind is, are they okay? Is my baby okay? Can I hold him or her? The bonding, the loving and caring. And children don't actually come with a book that explains their personality or what they're like in certain circumstances and how to deal with them and how to stop them kind of having a rage in the shop while you're looking at a coat. How to deal with that or how to deal with when they're sad or whatever. Doesn't happen like that, does it? But let's look at some famous children and I want you to guess who they are and what they became. And I hope it works all right, okay? There you go. Can you guess who she is? It's a woman. Who? She looks very happy, doesn't she? She looks gorgeous. I had a dress like that, you know. That's who it is. Queen Elizabeth. She hasn't changed much, actually. Hair's still the same, but she hasn't got a crown on, has she? Okay, next one. Who's this? The girl. Yes. Sheryl Crow. I couldn't get a photo of her as a baby. Most of the adults I couldn't. But that is Sheryl Crow. Do you know who she is? Yeah, what is she? What does she do? She's a what? What does she do? What does Sheryl do? She sings, doesn't she? I wonder when she was born if her mum thought, oh, gosh, she's got a loud voice. She'll make a good singer. Next one. Who? Who? Good boy, Michael Jackson. And what did he do? He sang. And he had four other brothers that used to sing as well. So he became very famous. This boy's knows his stuff, doesn't he? The Jackson Five. Ready for the next one? Who's that? Who? No. Leona Lewis. You're really good. And what did she do? They're all singers, aren't they? They must have, you know, famous. What did she win? X Factor. She's beautiful. She won the X Factor. Now then. Who's this? Prince Charles? Prince William. Who's Prince William? Who can tell me who Prince William is? Any of the kids? Yes. He's a prince. That's right. Whose son is he? Prince Charles. And who's his grandma? Who's his grandma? The Queen. Oh, isn't he gorgeous? He's so handsome. But there's not many of us that are born and think, I'm going to be a prince. What do you think, you know, his mum and dad, when he was born, what do you think they would be really happy? But from the very beginning, they knew what he was going to become. He should, after Charles, when the Queen kind of either says, right, I've had enough of being a queen, or she dies, then her son becomes the king, Prince Charles. And he's been in training for 60-odd years to become a prince, a king. And when he stands down or dies, his son, Prince William, will be a king. From the beginning, he was being prepared. Now, we are going to look at a famous child in A Christmas Story. And that's him on that side. But these aren't photographs because we don't know what he looked like, really. This is just an artist's impression of his mum, and I think it might be Mary and the baby Jesus. But there is that guy. And we read about him this morning. Can you remember what his name was, children? He had a really good name. My husband's name as well. His name was John. John the Baptist. Now in the story, we find out a little bit about this child that was born, John the Baptist. Even before he was born, we find out quite a bit about him because his dad was a priest, bit like Bill. He'd come into the temple because it was his, he was on the rota. And it was his duty to go into the temple, to go to the altar and to burn incense. Now, incense was like a perfume and it would send up smoke. And that was a picture to the people of the prayers of the people. But it was Zechariah's turn to go in the temple. So he went to the temple and he went to the table and he set up the incense burner and then he turned round. Oh! We got a real shock. Because standing at one end of the table was an angel. Now, how many of you have stood at the end of a table and seen an angel? Not many. You. But Zechariah had gone into the temple and he was a little bit scared because that is unusual. That doesn't happen very often. And the angel came to tell him. Now in the story, can you remember Zechariah and Elizabeth were quite old, weren't they? And Elizabeth, it says, she couldn't have any children. She couldn't have a baby because she was old. And it says in the passage that Zechariah, your prayers have been heard and your wife Elizabeth is going to have a baby. Now if that had been me, I'd have been doing a little bit of what Zechariah had done. My goodness, how? It can't happen, she's too old. But the angel said to him, this is what God's plan is. John the Baptist was part of the Christmas story, but he was promised. He was a promised child. And Zechariah, because he kind of questioned, he was told he wouldn't be able to speak anymore until John was born. And he went home and he must have, you know, in some way showed Elizabeth what was going to happen about her having a baby. And then the baby came. He was a promised child for a purpose. He was going to be different from most children. He would be filled by the Holy Spirit and he would do God's work. He will be a great man, says the writer. It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, Zechariah is told what this child was going to be, the promised child, before he was born. He was a promised child for a purpose. And then he says, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Zechariah and Elizabeth were quite religious people. They were of a priestly family. Zechariah and Elizabeth had obviously prayed that she would have a baby. But they will also pray that one would come to rescue the people of Israel. Because they were taken over by the Romans, one would come to set them free. So in two ways, Zechariah's prayer was answered. He would go ahead of the Lord. Just think, if when our children were born, we had all these instructions, what would happen to them? But for Zechariah, it was quite important. His son would go ahead of the Lord, the important one, the one who would change life for Israel. He would be strong and mighty like Elijah the prophet. He will repair damaged relationships between fathers and sons. He will bring disobedient people back to the way of right thinking. He will get the Lord's people ready. And in Isaiah it says, someone is shouting in the desert, get the road ready for the Lord. That was the expectation for a little baby, John. Wow. What expectations, what promise, what excitement, what privilege for Zechariah and Elizabeth. Part of a nation that was waiting for the one, the Messiah, to come to rescue and bring hope and light in the darkness of the enemies that surrounded them as a nation. This child would be used by God to bring people back to him, to know him, to love him. Now, when you go on to read, if you make the link, Elizabeth is pregnant with John. Who else had an angel appear to them to tell them some good news? Yes. Mary. And can you remember the name of the angel? Because the angel was named in this bit as well. Gabriel. Gabriel, an angel, is a messenger from God who comes to give them news. And he came to Mary to give her the news that she would become pregnant with. Who would she have? Jesus. Now, Mary was Elizabeth's cousin. And that picture that we showed a while back of the two mothers sitting together with their children, John and Jesus would know each other. John would be older, but he would grow up knowing Jesus, playing with him, perhaps going to the same school, perhaps having meals together as families. And then John would take a different path. He would go and live in the desert. Do you know what he ate? Do you know what they say he used to have for his Sunday dinner? Locust. Don't think I'd fancy locust. And honey. And fruits and berries. I don't think he ate meat. I'm not quite sure if it says that in there. And he kind of used to dress in animal skins. And he'd go out in the desert and he'd preach to people and tell them to turn back from the wrong things they were doing. To trust God, to repent, to turn away. And he told them that one would come who would change their life. He spoke bravely in the desert. He preached to the crowds. Little did he know what it might mean to him. But his name has lived forever as part of the story of Christmas. Now, when we think about our own children, when we think about the promise, and when you look at the world today, what do you think? When you see students rioting and throwing bricks at windows and fences at policemen, I'm not saying people shouldn't kind of stand up for what they believe in. But I think there are ways and means of doing it. And for me, that wasn't the right way to hurt from either side. But it's, what do we want for our children? Is it that kind of child who would do that? Parents sent their children on that kind of thing. And of course, they must stand up for what they think is right. But in a right way. How do we bring our children up? How do we help them to understand what is right and wrong? Zechariah and Elizabeth were given a real responsibility with John. And they were promised things about him, what he would do. We as parents want to commit our children, our young people, to the Lord for good. To pray for them, to encourage them, to bring them up in the ways of the Lord, to love them and allow them to know him and follow him. You never know what God has in mind for them, for their future, for whatever their future may be in his hands. We have to have faith in our God for our kids and for ourselves. I want to tell you a story. And it's a bit personal, really. Have you ever seen a bag of sugar? Yeah? How much does a bag of sugar weigh? A kilo. And a kilo in English weight is about two pounds, 2.5 pounds. Yeah? Is it? Yeah? That's how much I weighed when I was born. Amazing, isn't it? And when I was born, the doctor put me on the ground in a nappy and said, this one won't survive. And my grandmother picked me up. She wrapped me in whatever she had then, because my mum wasn't well. And they fed me with an eardropper, you know, like you feed little sheep who can't feed from their mum. And they wrapped me and put me in a drawer. That was my cot. A drawer. And they had to get the minister in to baptize me at home. Because I was born at home. And he turned to my mother and he said, this child won't die. She will be well. This kind of, when I was preparing, it just sparked in my mind. You know, in a sense, I have walked with God for a long time. I was 15 when I became a Christian. But even before that, I believe at my birth, God was there, making me strong again and walking. For what purpose? Maybe for this. Maybe to do what he wants to do. Now, that is my story. You have your stories. And it is for you to hand your life into God's hands to do what he wants in our world. John made a difference. God wants to take your life and my life and make a difference in our world. And that's the only way that our world can change. Because through Christ living within us and showing that Christian attitude to people, our world can change. That's what Jesus promises. He wants the best for all of us. But it can be difficult, can't it? Because John died for what he believed in. He stood up against the king, and the king had him put to death because he didn't like what he was saying. Who knows what might happen in our lives, how we might have to stand up against wrong, and how it might affect us. But all we can say is that the world that you and I live in is a difficult place, as it was thousands of years ago. But the one who came to change, to bring light into darkness and joy in the midst of sorrow and hope in the middle of despair, is still with us. Kids, we oldies have done lots of things, and we've found that God is with us through all those things. We want you to know that when you commit your life to God in Christ, He is with you through it all, and He will guide and direct you. We have to say thank you for John. Thank you for Zechariah and Elizabeth and their example, because they responded to God's message. Many thousands of years ago, John the Baptist became a child of promise, God's man for his people and for his Lord. And this is what his father said when he was born. You, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High God. You will go ahead of the Lord to prepare his road for him, to tell his people that they will be saved by having their sins forgiven. Our God is merciful and tender, and he will cause the bright dawn of salvation to rise on us and to shine from heaven on all those who live in the dark shadow of death, to guide our steps into the path of peace. The child John grew and developed in body and spirit. He lived in the desert until the day when he appeared publicly to the people of Israel. Let's pray. God, our Father, we thank you for Christmas, and we thank you for those people who we read about in the Christmas stories, who help us to understand what God wanted for our world.